Okay, the shiur today is sponsored by Mark and Jacqueline Melkin. Marking the yard site today is Jacqueline's grandmother, Malkabas Sfihirsh, and the Shalom Shalav and Aliyah. She seems much nachas throughout and some mitzvahs and nice and tov, and the entire family is involved in. The topic for today's shiur is Shiur Shel Yom. The concept of reciting, as we know, at the end of davening every day, the Shiur Shel Halavim, Hayu Omer B'Beis HaMikdash, recalling the chapter of Tehillim that the Levim would recite every day in the Beis HaMikdash. Somebody once joked that Shir Shel Yom is really the one part of davening you need kavanah for, because you have to stop for a minute to think, is today Sunday, is today Monday, is today Tuesday, you know, so you need at least a little bit of kavanah, you know, while saying the Shir Shel Yom to make sure that you're not saying the wrong day. What's the concept behind the Shir Shel Yom? Where does it come from? Why do we say it? What's its significance? So we'll try to explore all of that a little bit today. First of all, in its origins, the concept of the Shir Shel Yom goes back to the Beit HaMikdash as the header for each of the Shir Shel Yoms that we say it actually mentions. During the course of the Beit HaMikdash, when the Beit HaMikdash was in operation, every single day there were two karbanos that were brought on a daily basis, or there were many karbanos that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash, but two in particular were brought on a daily basis. There was a lamb offered up as a sacrifice in the morning, that was the Talmud Shel Shachar, and there was a second lamb offered up as a sacrifice in the afternoon, that was the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim. As many of us know, the fact that we daven Shacharis and Mincha today corresponds in turn to the Talmud Shel Shachar in the morning and the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim, which was offered up in the afternoon. As part of the service of offering up the Talmud in the morning as well as in the afternoon, there was something called Nesachim. Nesachim in English translates as libations. And basically what libations involved was that they would take wine, they would pour the wine into special canisters that were on the corner of the Mizbeach, on the corner of the altar, and that libation, you know, that pouring out of wine, accompanied the bringing of the karbanos, the Talmud Shel Shachar, the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim, and as well many other karbanos that were brought in the Beit HaMikdash. When we dive in Musaf, and we talk about Umin Chasam V'Niskehem, as we do on Yom Tovim, so Umin Chasam V'Niskehem means the flower offerings, that's what a mincha literally means, and the Niskehem, the libations, the Nesachim, the wine offerings, which were offered up as part of the service of the Beis HaMikdash as well. There's a concept in the Gemara that Ein Omrin Shira Ela Al Hayayin, that wine and song are supposed to go together. So normally we think of that concept as that songs of praise are supposed to be associated with the drinking of wine. Right? So for instance, we know there's so many brachas which we recite over a cup of wine because, you know, reciting the bracha over a cup of wine makes it special. But not only did that concept pertain to a human being drinking wine, but the idea of Ein Omrim Shira Ela Al Hayayin is also applied to the libations that took place in the Beis HaMikdash. So even though no human being was drinking the wine, even though the wine was being poured into canisters that were on the Mizbeach, on the altar, nonetheless there was a din that the pouring of the wine on the Mizbeach had to be accompanied by song. Right, so now that's where the song of the Levim and the Beis HaMikdash would come in, that while the wine was being poured into these canisters that were on the corner of the Mizbeach, the Levim would get the choir together, and the choir of Levim would sing what we know today to be the Shir Shel Yom. So the way it worked in the Beis HaMikdash is that they would sing the Shir Shel Yom During the offering of the Talmud Shel Shachar. They would also sing the Shir Shel Yom during the offering of the Talmud Shel Ben Harbayim. They sang the Shir Shel Yom twice a day. On Shabbos, when there was a Karban Musaf, there was a special Shir Shel Yom that was associated with the Karban Musaf as well. That Shir Shel Yom is one which is familiar to us from another context, that was actually the Shira Ta'azinu. right? The song of Hazina, which is at the very end of the Chamisha Chodesh Torah, was sang as the Shir Shel Yom in the Beit HaMikdash when they brought the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. Right? So, you know, the Shir Shel Yom was sung at various, at least twice a day. There was a separate Shir Shel Yom for the Musaf on Shabbos. We also find that there was a unique Shir Shel Yom that was sung on the various Yom Tovim, on the different holidays in the Beit HaMikdash. There was a Shir Shel Yom that was sung marking the fact that it was a holiday. Okay, good. So they used to sing a Shir Shel Yom in the Beit HaMikdash. How does that now translate into our practice today? So the earliest reference we find to the idea that Shir Shel Yom should be part of our davening is from a source called the Maseches Sofrim. The Maseches Sofrim is one of the so-called Maseches Ketanos, the little tractates of the Gemara. What does that mean? It's a Talmudical tractate which is written in the style of Mishnayos, in the style of the Gemara. It's not actually part of Shas, but it does relay the opinions of the Tanoim and in some cases the Amoraim, and it seems to have been compiled after the Gemara itself was compiled, you know, in the years, the centuries following the compilation of the Gemara. The Sefer Sofrim in particular contains many of the early sources for what we do during davening and during laning, and you know, a lot of things that are familiar to us can be traced ultimately back to the Sefer Sofrim. The Sefer Sofrim, in the beginning of the 18th chapter, writes that there's a practice, they would say Shir Shel Yom, of course, in the Beit HaMikdash. And then the Maseches Sofrim writes that L'sichach nohagu ha'am lomar mizmorim ba'onasam. Because of the importance of saying the Shir Shel Yom, nohagu ha'am, the people have the custom of reciting the Sefer Shir Shel Yom during davening to recall what the Levim did in the Beit HaMikdash. And writes the Maseches Sofrim, Shekol Hamazkir Pasuk Ba'onaso, if you mention a Pasuk in a time that's appropriate for that Pasuk, in other words, you say a timely Pasuk at the right time, in other words, today's Sunday, so we mentioned the Shir Shel Yom of Sunday, Ma'ale Olav Ki'ilu Bona Mizbeach Chadosh U'makriv Olav Karbam. God considers it as if you built a new altar and you brought a karbam, you brought a sacrifice on that altar. On the simplest of levels, it sounds like what the Maseches Sofrim is saying is that the reason we say Shir Shel Yom is to remind us of the way things were in the Beit HaMikdash. We do a lot of things in Jewish life to remind us of, you know, the way things were in the Beit HaMikdash. And by recalling what was done in the Beit HaMikdash, we hope that, you know, we'll keep adding up more and more schusim, more and more merits, so that we can see the Beit HaMikdash one day rebuilt, you know, and see this practice returned to its former glory. Right? So on the most basic of levels, reciting the Shir Shel Yom is a way of transporting ourselves back to what was still going on in the time of the Beit HaMikdash. And it's like many things that we do. It's kind of like, you know, the recitation of Karbanos, which at least are in the Siddur, you know, first thing that are recited by many first thing in the morning, reminding us of the fact that, you know, the Beit HaMikdash stood and this is how things used to operate. There are different customs about how exactly the Shir Shel Yom is carried out. First of all, what exactly do we say? So if it's a regular day, you know, a regular Sunday, a regular Monday, a regular Tuesday, it's pretty obvious what we're supposed to recite. You know, there's a clear list in the Mishnah and Talmud as to which chapter of Tehillim was recited each day of the week, and we follow just basically verbatim whatever they did in the Beit HaMikdash. But what happens when it's, for instance, a special day, right? In you know, in a week from now, the Ezes Hashem, it's going to be Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. Right? So what's the Shir Shel Yom, which we're going to recite a week from now on Sunday? So there are actually three different practices. Right? So if you mess up, you know, you can always just say that you're following the other practice. Right? One practice is to say that it's Sunday, so we just say the Shir Shel Yom for Sunday. That's it. Fine. Nothing different, nothing unique. Right? Sunday is Sunday is Sunday is Sunday. Right? That if you have occasion next Sunday morning to daven at MTJ, you'll see that's the minhag over there. Right? Sunday is Sunday. Ayes is Chodesh. Okay, good. So we said Hallel, we said Musaf, you know, but the Shir Shal Yom is unaffected in that regard. If you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael next Sunday, so first of all, you know, if you could buy an extra ticket, I don't mind. But if you happen to be in Eretz Yisrael next Sunday and you go into an Ashkenazi shul in Eretz Yisrael, you see that they have a totally different practice. Their practice is that when Rosh Chodesh comes out, let's say during one of the days of the week. So the Sefer Sofrim tells us that on Rosh Chodesh, in the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't say the regular Shir Shal Yom, they would say Barchi Nafshi. So the custom in the Ashkenazi shuls in Eretz Yisrael, following the minhag of the Vilna Gaon, is to not say the Shir Shal Yom for Sunday, to only say Barchi Nafshi to mark the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. What's that? Not the Ashkenazim. Again, Nusach Sard, yes, you know, Nusach Hidar HaMizrach, but the Gronics, in other words, the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon, so they will only say Baruch Hinashi, they will not say Hayom Yom Rishon, Shabbat Yom HaLevim, Omrim, L'David Mizmor. They won't say L'David Mizmor, they'll just say Baruch Hinashi. This is, in fact, it's the minhag of the Vilna Gaon, so there probably are like one or two shuls here in New York that follow the minhag of the Vilna Gaon as well, but the customs of the Vilna Gaon became especially established among the Ashkenazi community in Eretz Yisrael, because it was the students of the Vilna Gaon in the mid-1800s who were the first Ashkenazim to make Aliyah, so all of the Nusach Ashkenaz shuls in Eretz Yisrael tend to follow the minhagim, the customs of the Vilna Gaon. Okay, so that's number two. Most of us will follow custom number three next week on Sunday, which is why not do both, right? So we'll say the regular Shir Shal Yom for Sunday, and then we'll say Baruch Hinashi, marking the fact that it's Rosh Chodesh. So that actually originates from one of the great Kabbalists of the Middle Ages, called the Rambam Itano. The Rambam Itano was from Menachem Azariah of Fano in Italy. It's yeshivish to say Pano, but if you would have asked the Rambam Itano, he would have told you he's not from Pano, he's from Fano. Okay? If you know who he was, that's fine. So the Rambam Itano instituted that we should do both. In other words, we should say the Shir Shal Yom for whatever day it happens to be. And we should also say, if it's the Rosh Chodesh or something like that, we should say Baruch Hinashi, the special Shir Shal Yom for that day. There are many other customs which we follow, which are also reflective of the fact that on special days we say a special Shir Shal Yom. So for instance, Masechta Sofrim writes that on Hanukkah, the practice is to say Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. We say chapter 30 as part of the Shir Shal Yom. So here too, you have that same three-way debate as to what to do. One approach is to just say the regular Shir Shal Yom and ignore the fact that it's Hanukkah, at least in terms of the Shir Shal Yom. The second approach is to only mention the fact that it's Hanukkah and ignore whatever the day happens to be. Again, in our shul, I think most shuls, the practice is to say both the Shir Shal Yom for whatever day it happens to be, as well as to mention the fact that it's Hanukkah by reciting additionally Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. Fine. When we started looking a little bit closer at this idea of the Shir Shal Yom as being a reminder of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, we start running into some issues. Because when we really start analyzing closely how the Shir Shal Yom works in our practice, in our minhag, we find that we actually do not do exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. So, for one thing, as we mentioned at the outset, in the Beis HaMikdash, they recited the Shir Shal Yom in conjunction with the Talmud Shal Shachar, and also in conjunction with the Talmud Shal Bein Harabayim. So if we really want to follow what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, that should lead us to the following conclusion. We should say Shir Shal Yom and Shachar, and then we should go back again and say Shir Shal Yom at Mincha. Right? In other words, if you want to follow what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, okay, so follow what they did in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, they did the Shir Shal Yom twice a day. So, if we're going to do a Shmoneh Esrei for Shacharis and a Shmoneh Esrei for Mincha, because we're reliving the fact that they brought a carbon, Shacharis and Mincha time, so the same logic should lead us to say that the Shir Shayom should be recited at Mincha as well. So the reason as to why we don't, there's an explanation suggested by the Magen Avraham, one of the chief commentaries on Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim. The Magen Avraham suggests that apparently, he says, sometimes they were running late with bringing the Talmud Sheldeng HaRabayim. So if you're running late with Mincha, you can always, you know, just say, hey, that's what they did in the Beis HaMikdash also. Sometimes they were running late with the Talmud Sheldeng HaRabayim. And by the time they finished bringing the carbon, says the Magen Avraham, and they were ready to, you know, they had, and when they had just finished putting on the nesachim, putting on the libations, it was already after sunset. And it's not appropriate to say the Shir Shalom after sunset, says the Magen Avraham. So since that happens every once in a while, so we don't say the Shir Shalom at Mincha. The surface is a very hard explanation. I mean, first of all, the Gemara says in a bunch of different places, Kohanim Zrizim Heim. The Kohanim who worked in the Beis HaMikdash were, you know, on top of their game. You know, they didn't just get schleppers to be Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash. They were a well-oiled machine in the Beis HaMikdash. Plus, if you read the descriptions of the Mishnayos about when they brought the Talmud Shaldein HaRabayim, they didn't do work like what we do with Mincha. I mean, we oftentimes wait till the very last minute to have the Mincha. They brought the Talmud Shaldein HaRabayim at least 2 hours before the end of the day. Okay, so even if you're running behind schedule, how much behind schedule are you running already? I mean, they typically brought it 2 hours before the end of the day. Okay, so you're running 15 minutes late, 20 minutes late. They ran 2 hours late on a regular basis? I don't know. You know, like you like to think that the Beis HaMikdash was a little bit more yakish than that. You know, they're running 2 hours late on a regular basis. It's a little hard to understand this long in our drum. But be that as it may, so it's difficult to explain why we don't say Shir Shalom Bar Mincha. Secondly, why don't we say the Shir Shalom of Musaf on Shabbos like they did in the Beis HaMikdash? Right? In other words, we said already that when they would bring the Korban Musaf in the Beis HaMikdash on Shabbos, they would recite the Shiras HaAzinu. So that doesn't find any reflection in our tefillos whatsoever. We don't recite any part of the Shir HaAzinu on Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos. So why not? Now, because again, if we're trying to just mimic what they did in the Beis HaMikdash, so go the whole way. In other words, you know, do whatever they were doing in the Beis HaMikdash. Why are we only doing part of what they did in the Beis HaMikdash? Another thing which is particularly hard to understand according to Nusach Ashkenaz. Right? When do you say the Shir Shalom when you also have a musaf? Right, so those here who daven tzfar know that, let's say on Shabbos, you finish davening shacharis, and then you say the Shir Shalom, and then you take out the Sefer Torah, and you lay, and you daven musaf, and you do all of that, but the Shir Shalom is at the end of shacharis. On the surface, that makes a lot of sense. Because again, the Shir Shalom was connected to the Talmud Shoshachah, to the morning Karban. The Shir Shalom was not connected to Musaf at all, right? In fact, as we said before, there was a different Shir Shalom that was recited by the Talmud, by the Korban Musaf of Shabbos. Again, the Shir HaAzinu. So Nusach Sfard, by the way, there's also the Nusach in Frankfurt, you know, the Nusach of the Breuer's Gehillo, the Nusach of the Eidot HaMizrach, the Nusach of the Vilna Gaon to say the Shir Shalom on Shabbos at the end of Shacharis. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But many of us in this room, daven was the more standard Nusach Ashkenaz, and the more standard Nusach Ashkenaz sticks the Shir Shalom at the very, very end of davening after Musaf has already finished. On the surface, that makes no sense. Because again, the Shir Shalom is specifically related to Shacharis. It's explicitly not the Shir Shalom which was said at Musaf. So to delay the recitation of the Shir Shalom till after Musaf, which again is standard Nusach Ashkenaz, on the surface is hard to understand. Right? Why would Nusach Ashkenaz put the Shir Shalom in a place which on the surface seems to be so inappropriate and so wrong, you know, for the recitation of this year's Shoyachas. So to try to get a better handle on what we hope to accomplish by saying this year's Shoyachas, particularly because we don't exactly mimic the way it was done in the Beis HaMikdash, I want to share a thought which more or less was expressed by Rav Shlomo HaKohen of Vilna, was one of the Dayanim in Vilna at the end of the 1800s. He writes this in his Tshuvas Cheshek Shlomo, and also is reported in the name of Rav Chaim Soloveitchik, the following ideas. And we're going to say it a little bit differently than these Gedolei Olam said it, and I think, you know, the way we're just going to present it will help us explain some of the issues we've brought up, as well as some other issues regarding Shir Shoyam, which we'll try to understand in the next couple of minutes. The Cheshek Shlomo, Shlomo Vilna, and the Chaim Soloveitchik both pointed to a second role that the reciting of the Shir Shoyam accomplishes. Again, up till now we've just presented the reciting of the Shir Shoyam as a way of reminding us of the way things were done in the Beis HaMikdash, like a Zecher LaMikdash. That's true, they both said, but there's another element to it as well. The Ramban, in Sefer Shmos, in Parshas Yisrael, on the pasuk Zachar es Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho, remember Shabbos to keep it holy, the Ramban quotes Chazal as follows. Rabbi Yitzchak Omer, Lo tehei mona kederech sheho acherim monim. Reb Yitzchak says, you, the Jews, should not count the days of the week the way others do. Ela shetehei mona liyom Shabbos. Rather, you should count the days of the week in terms of their relationship to Shabbos. That's from Chazal. Explains the Ramban, upei rusha, what this means is as follows. The non-Jews count the days of the week in terms of themselves. In other words, each day has its own name. They'll give a certain name to the day of the week, or they'll call them based on the celestial bodies, kenotzrim, the way the Christians do. So for instance, Sunday, the day of the sun, Monday, the day of the moon, right? And again, all of the various other names of the days of the week, the way we use them, many of them taken from, you know, various figures in mythology, you know, various different Norse and Roman gods and the like, you know, whose names are immortalized in the days of the week the way we have them. Or other names, in other words, but each day has its own name that represents something. That's the way the non-Jewish world does it. The Yisrael Monin Kalayomin L'Shem Shabbos. Jews, in contrast, count the days of the week in terms of their relationship to Shabbos. Right? Today does not have a name. There's no name for today. Today is Echad B'Shabbos. Right? The first day towards Shabbos. Sheni B'Shabbos. Right? In really, traditionally, there's no such thing from a Jewish perspective. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, etc. It's the first day towards Shabbos, the second day towards Shabbos, the third day towards Shabbos. The Yisroel min ha-mitzvah shenitzavinu bo, the Zachro Talmud v'chol yom. And this, says the Ramban, is the mitzvah which we were given, Zachar es Yom HaShabbos, remember Shabbos. What does it mean to remember Shabbos? So says the Ramban, part of the mitzvah from the Torah, remember Shabbos, is to mark every day in terms of its relationship to Shabbos, and writes the Ramban, Rizel Shuto Shol Mikro. This is the simple, straightforward interpretation of what the Torah means when it says, Zachar is Yom HaShabbos, remember Shabbos, means designate today not as Sunday, but as day one towards Shabbos, Rishon LeShabbos, Sheni LeShabbos, etc. Says the Chaim Soloveitchik and says the Cheshek Shlomo, a large part of what we accomplish by saying the Shir Shoyom is to fulfill every day this mitzvah d'araisa, this mitzvah from the Torah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadsho. Right? When we made our appointments for today, when we sent out our invitations about what we're going to do today, So we use the conventional, way of referring to today as Sunday. Right? If you send out an invitation, even in from circles, that something is happening today, it's always an event that will take place, Sunday, November 12th, whatever. But every morning we have to start out with the Jewish designation of the day. So on a typical morning, we'll start out Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos. Right? In order to fulfill this mitzvah of Zachar Yom HaShabbos L'Kadosho. Rav Chaim Soloveitchik actually goes even a step further, and he says that when the Levim sang their song in the Beit HaMikdash, they also started off Hayom Yom Rishon L'Shabbos. I don't think we usually assume that. I think we usually assume that, what the Levim actually sang was David Mizmor L'Hashem Ha'aretz U'Meloah Tevel V'Yosh Tevah. And when we're recounting what they did, we start off with a little bit of an introduction. Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos Shavoyu Halavim Omer Medeis HaMikdash. But Chaim Soloveitchik says no. This idea of marking the day as being Rishon B'Shabbos as opposed to being just Sunday is such an integral part of the Shira and its function that the Levim themselves, they didn't say Shavoyu Halavim Omer Medeis HaMikdash, that wouldn't have made sense. But they got up and they said, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, with David, Mizmar, Lashem, Ha'aretz, and Meloah. Right, so that... I'll tell you on that point, so Rav Moshe Soloveitchik is quoted as saying as follows. When we say on Shabbos, if you say Pita Baktaris, where it says, Hashir Shalim Ha'yom Beis HaMikdash, it says, "V'yom Hashabbos ha'yom mizmor shir yom Hashabbos mizmor shir la'asid lava liyom shukulo Shabbos v'nucha l'chayei ha'olamim." Rav Moshe Soloveitchik says that whole phrase was said by the Levim. The Levim on Shabbos in the Beis Hamikdash got up and said, "Hayom Shabbos kodesh." Hayom Shabbos Kodesh, Yom Shabbos Menucha L'Chayei Ha'olamim. They said the whole Nusach, the way it's preserved in the Mishnah and Talmud, and the way we say it in Pita Maktaris, that was all part of what the Levim said in the Beit HaMikdash. But whether you accept that idea of Reb Chaim and Reb Moshe Soloveitchik or not, right, again, it's a Chiddush, it's a novel interpretation, but clearly what's being traced back to this Ramzan is that the idea of saying Shir Shel Yom is probably less about the actual perek that we're saying and more about just the idea, the heading. Sometimes the heading we think is just an introduction. Here the heading is everything. It's more about designating today as Rishon L'Shabbos, Sheni B'Shabbos, Shlishi B'Shabbos, and the like. Now, in light of that, I think we can start answering at least some of the various questions which we have, right? So why do we not always follow what they did exactly that they submit us, right? Our custom is not always to say exactly the same chapter of Tehillim that they said in the Beis HaMikdash. If they said Baruch Hinashi, we say that as an additional chapter of Tehillim, right? Again, it's less, according to what we're explaining, it's less about what you say and more about that designation, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos. So capturing exactly what they did in the Beis HaMikdash is really of a secondary nature. Let's add one idea to this, and then we'll see how this, I think, can answer a lot of the questions we had about the Shir Shel Yom. 3 weeks ago, when we were learning about Aleinu, so we quoted an idea from the Bach, with the old circus of Krakow in the 1600s, the Bayis Chodosh, where the Bach writes, why is it that we say Aleinu at the end of davening? So says the Bach, because Aleinu is all about recognizing how the Jewish role in the world is distinct from the perspective of the non-Jews. They worship idols, we are committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Bach, as we're finishing davening and we're about to leave the security of our place of tefillah and go out into the big wide world out there, it's important that we inoculate ourselves with a little bit of a focus on how what we're doing is right, what the idolatrous nations of the world is doing is wrong, and this way we can keep our faith even though we're going to step outside of the shul, the Beis Medrash, wherever we're davening, go into the big wide world out there and be exposed to all different kinds of ideologies and perspectives that are very foreign to the way we look at the world, right? So that's why Aleinu was at the very end. So if you recall at the time, we pose the following question. That works really well if you daven Nusach Sfar. Right, today's Nusach Sfar day. Right? That works really well if you daven Nusach Sfar, because the Nusach Sfar later was at the very end of davening. But what if you daven Nusach Ashkenaz? Nusach Ashkenaz, you know, we say Aleinu, we're all pumped and psyched, you know, we're going to go out there, we believe in God, you know, we don't listen to what the idolatrous nations of the world believe in. And then, as we're about to say Aleinu and go out the door, and we can do it, we can take them on, boom, comes the sitter and says, wait, one more thing, Shir Shalom. How anticlimactic. Right? Here it is, we were all ready to show how we're different than everybody else, and comes the Shir Shalom and stops us in our tracks. Why the Shir Shalom, you know, like, well, why do that right at the end? I think based on what we're saying today, we actually have a new insight into the Nusach Ashkenaz practice of putting Shir Shalom at the very end. Because Shir Shalom also reminds us that we are different than the nations of the world, as per the Ramban that we just quoted. The nations of the world see today as Sunday. But the very last thing Nusach Ashkenaz reminds us before we head out into the world is that today is not Sunday, right? Today is Rishon LeShabbos. Today is the first day as we count to Shabbos. And you're right, when you get out there and you pull out your calendar book or, you know, your phone or whatever, and, you know, as you make appointments or you speak to people, of course you're going to use the term that today is Sunday, today is Sunday, today is Sunday. But at least the last thing before you left davening, you should have in your head that that's not really what today is. Today is really Echad B'Shabbos, Rishon LeShabbos. Today is the first day of counting for Shabbos, because the Jew anchors his or her week based on Shabbos, not based on the sun, the moon, you know, some Norse god or anything of that nature. We are anchored in the idea of being committed to Shabbos. So from that perspective, the Shir Shalom is really just a perfect follow-up to Aleinu. Aleinu says, Shalom Asaru Kigoyehu Aratzos, we are different than them. The Shir Shalom says, you know, in which way we're different than them? One major way in which we're different from them is how we look at the days of the week. And just bear that in mind as you're about to go out there into the world, and, you know, you're going to be talking about Sunday, 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 Sunday. You know, yeah, okay, that's fine, but it's not really Sunday. It's just Rishon LeShabbos. You should bear that in mind as you go about your regular daily activities. So with this idea in mind, if this is correct, that the Shir Shalom is, you know, primarily about reminding ourselves how different we are and how differently we look at the days of the week, let's go back and try to explain some of the questions that we had earlier. How come Shir Shalom is only recited by Shacharis and not by Mincha? Again, in the Beit HaMikdash, they said the Shir Shalom when they brought the Talmud Shal Shachar, they brought the Talmud Shal Ben Ha'arbayim. Perhaps one can answer as follows. The need for the Shir Shalom to remind us of how different we are and how differently we look at the world is a particularly important need at Shacharis. Why? Well, because Shacharis is the first, I'd say it's the first thing you're doing in your day, but let's be charitable. It's among the first things that you're doing in your day. But typically when you finish davening Shacharis, that's when you're going to go out into the big wide world. That's when you need this reinforcement. That's when you need this reminder that today is not Sunday, but it's Rishon LeShabbos. By the time you're davening Mincha, so again, you know, nowadays many people will daven Mincha in the middle of the day, but I think historically, before there was electricity and the day basically ended when the sun went down, Mincha was probably one of the last things you were doing. You were doing that at the end of the work day. Right? You were davening Mincha as the day was kind of winding down, and you were heading back into the comfort of your own home and your own comfort zone, if you will. At that point, the Shir Shalom is not really, no, it's not necessary to the same extent. You've already been out there in the world. Now at Mincha time, you're coming back home, coming back into a protective, supportive Jewish environment. So the need to remind ourselves that today is not Sunday, but rather it's Rishon LeShabbos, is less of a pressing need. I mean, after all, you know, Sunday night, you're going to have all the leftovers from Shabbos from the day before. So you remember very well that, you know, today is Rishon LeShabbos. It's the first day since the last Shabbos, you know, so that's why we're having cholent for dinner. That's why we're having kugel for dinner, you know. So you don't need the reminder necessarily by Mincha. Right, that was one of the issues which we raised. why is it that Nusach Ashkenaz always seems to put the Shir Shalom at the very end of davening, even though, again, it doesn't really make sense in terms of when they said the Shir Shalom in the Beit HaMikdash? Right, so Nusach Sard, again, Nusach Sard makes more sense if you're thinking about the way they did things in the Beit HaMikdash, right? So you daven Shacharis on Shabbos, you finish Shacharis, you say Shir Shalom, boom, then we're done, then we go into the laning. But again, those who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, so we wait for the end of Musaf, the very last thing before we say, you know, the Shir Shalom. And again, that doesn't really make sense, you know, in terms of what they did in the Beit HaMikdash. The Beit HaMikdash, they had a different Shir Shalom from Musaf. Answer, according to the way we're presenting, Nusach Ashkenaz values incredibly the idea that the Shir Shalom should be the last thing you say before you leave davening, because you're about to be exposed as you leave davening to the broader society, to the world out there. And it's at that point that you need that sense of inoculation, of a reminder that we count time differently. Our whole notion of time is different than that which pertains to the outside world. Right? So that as well, you know, makes sense, I think, based on this presentation. The kitzur, by the time we're done, you know, analyzing the Shir Shalom, so, you know, maybe the joke that we made at the outset really takes on a new, a new understanding. We joked at the outset that the one time during davening you need to have kavana, Shir Shalom, because, you know, you have to... Right, yeah, no, so... Right. Yeah, it's Tuesday. Right. Right. Okay. Again, the end of the day, we're talking about a minute. Okay. I mean, it's a custom to say the Shir Shalom. It's not like, you know, if you skip the Shir Shalom altogether, you know, it's not like you're in violation of any halacha or anything of that nature. It's an ancient minute. It's a proper minute. We should do it, all things being equal. But, you know, if you skipped it, you said the wrong day, whatever it is, you know, so if you said the wrong day, you should probably check your phone and make sure that your appointments are all, you know. But, right. Right, you know, especially when he went to the, you know, to the Wednesday appointment as opposed to going to the Tuesday appointment, you know. But I think, you know, we said the one time you really have to have kavana is by the Shir Shalom. So, yeah, on a joking level, it's because, you know, you have to keep track. Is it Sunday? Is it Monday? Is it Tuesday? But on a deeper level, the kavana of Shir Shalom is really the kavana of Aleinu. We are different. How are we different? We are different because our week revolves around Shabbos. Right? That, and, you know, just having kavana for that, even if you don't understand anything that you said of the Shir Shalom, you know, even if you don't understand the chapter of Tehillim itself, you know, it's secondary. It's less about the actual chapter that you say and more about that realization, Hayom Rishon B'Shabbos, right? You know, that it's, you know, that today is special because it's the first day toward Shabbos, not a Sunday, and recognizing that Jewish perspective on time is how we're supposed to think about, you know, the entire week. Bezus Hashem, the thing that next week is Rosh Chodesh, we should probably have a Rosh Chodesh dedicated shir. So Bezus Hashem, when we pick up next week, we'll do that. Now we have to adjust the time a little bit, just because the last minute is 9:15, they're not going to finish till 10:30 at least. So should we call it for a little bit later, 10:45, something like that? That works for people. Yeah. Well, if you want, we can call. Well, you know what? If you want, we can call for the regular time. We can just do it upstairs. I think that should work as well. You know, it might be called up there. Yeah. What's that? Not really. No. We just burn firewood mostly. Yeah. Is 10:45 work? Is that? Yeah. What? It's a little bit late. So we're able to do the following. Well, let's call it to 10:15. We'll make sure that the heat is on upstairs, you know, that to an extent to which at least it's moderately comfortable. Does the upstairs pose any problems in terms of people? Yes, let's do the 10:15 the regular time. We'll just do it upstairs next week. That's the question.
Yeah.